I am sitting at the Linux Cafe, which is a really nice, cozy place, when I start writing this first story for you, Maria. Some kind of funky soft music comes out from above. Under the notepad's a green table with a black border. Up on it stands my coffee cup, filled with dark, sweet, brown sugar. A green cup with a spoon in it. This story happened in the airport in Keflavik, in Reykjavik, in Iceland. It was a very gray day, and the planes dropped down out of the gray as ghosts, or as people. Here a second, and there the gone, the next. Two small orange-headed creatures sit watching the planes. They were about the height of my pen and had orange hair, if I haven't already told you. Not orange like Anne of Green Gables, but orange like a worker's helmet. They were far, far away from their home, which was in a great tree in a forest on an altogether different continent. Their names were Frigold and Frigla. And they were dry and warm and snug and contented. They had been through many adventures and really did not all feel like getting into any new ones. The clouds shifted. A sunbeam squeezed through, illuminating one specific purple little flower and making the drops on it glitter. Both Frigold and Frigla hardly thought about it as they lazily meandered towards this beautiful apparition. Bonk! Something invisible bonked them on the nose. "Shoo!" said Frigla, annoyed. "You forgot about the invisible stuff that shows up every now and then and bonks you on the nose again." "Yes, it's about time someone did something about that stuff," Frigold replied. And so they set about smashing all the windows they could find. It was difficult at first, but they soon learned how to knock with the stone around the face of the stuff, and what noise the stuff made where it was weak. Then they would slam it really hard there and watch as the cracks ran crisscrossing all along the surface. It was really beautiful, they both thought. Then they would run to the edge, and Frigold would sit down and listen admiringly as Frigla would sing just the right note. A note so beautifully high and crisp that neither you nor I could have heard it. And the stuff would come tumbling down. Crash. Boom. Sheesh. People started screaming and shouting for joy as their age-old nemesis, the windows, came tumbling down. Rarely had the two brave little creatures felt so proud. They worked their way through the airport, smashing every invisible head-thumping thing to pieces, amid the wild, enthusiastic cries of the big people. Beaming with pride, they an hour later took the bus in to Reykjavik. And so it was that as Heidr Dotterdotter arrived at the airport to sweep and clean, his bored look was swept off his face, and he softly said, "Vid svinemolden, harder, harder, more dear bring." And as Frigold and Frigla moved away from the airport, dangling their feet off the bumper of a bus, they looked over at the sirens flashing over by the airport, and they held hands. "See, Frigold, they started a disco." Frigla heaved a deep sigh and laid her head on Frigold's shoulder. "Frigold, it feels so good traveling around the world with you like this. You know, I really think we are making it a better place." Frigold smiled into her deep purple eyes and really could not disagree. Away they bumped towards the glaciers, and as the sun moved down, the stars came out overhead, and the skies were alive with northern lights. But Frigold and Frigla did not know that was what they were. They bumped on, following the bus as it made its way towards the glacier Vatnajökull, which is the biggest glacier in the world. They were not quite sure what they were going to do there, but they had a vague idea that they could make ice cream out of it, or something like that. You don't get much of a brain into a volume that's about the size of 2 cubic centimeters. But that's okay, they were nice people. Not people, they were good, nice frigglers. So they bumped on towards Vatnajökull. And when they came to Vatnajökull and saw it rearing up towards the sky, they thought that, wow, that's big. And so they found a computer, tried to figure out how to make ice cream out of snow. And they were disappointed to find that you can't make ice cream out of snow, you need milk. However, what you can make is you can make a kind of, what's it called? Well, it's not ice cream, it's like fake ice cream. It's pretty good though. I can't remember, sorbet, you can make sorbet out of snow. So they found a truck that contained strawberries and another truck that contained sugar. And they drove it up to the top of the Jökull, which was very difficult, very, very dangerous, since the Jökull is slippery and steep and contains crevices which fall down thousands and thousands of meters. And it went quite well, actually. They got up the truck to the top. They did this by operating the gas pedal and having Frigold swing back and forth on the steering wheel and having the radio playing really, really loud, because they couldn't get the car to work until they had the radio going, so they thought they needed the radio going to have it working. And it was very strange, because actually when the radio turned off, the car stopped working. So they turned the radio back on again, and the car kept working. And they slid their way upwards towards the ice top. And up there, they had to try to figure out how they were going to tip over the truck. Because they had to do that, right? They could have opened the doors, too. Oh, Frigga said, why don't we just open the doors? So they did. Started throwing out strawberries one by one into the snow. And this took a long time, took a whole day throwing out strawberries one by one. When they were done, the top of the Jökull was completely red. Well, white dotted. There were still some places where they hadn't gotten strawberries because it was only like one layer. And one layer will always have a little bit of space in between this white. So then they did the same thing with the sugar truck, and miraculously enough, they managed to get it up to the top without falling into any of the crevices, and they dumped out the sugar. And then they had to figure out how to mix it around. But that really wasn't so hard. They just took the truck and mixed it around, and by driving over it lots of times. Then they sat down and ate their sorbet until their stomachs hurt. And then they were pretty cold, so they got in the car, turned on the engine, turned on the radio, and fell asleep listening to Icelandic news. They really didn't understand, but they found it fascinating anyway, and wonderful, because they were full on their strawberry sorbet. Then they woke up, ate more strawberry sorbet, got incredible sugarish, and fell asleep again. And next day they weren't feeling so well, and they were tired of driving, so they decided to walk down the Jökull. And I don't know how they managed to get down without falling into one of the crevices. It's really quite incredible. I really don't know how they did it, but they did. But it was kind of scary, because
sometimes they would pass just by one, and they'd look down, and it was blue and dark, completely irreal, and terribly, terribly far down. And put the hearts right up in their throats, but they didn't remember fear long enough for it to make them stop sliding down the yuckle. But then they came down. Found the house, squiddled in through the drain pipes, squiddled out through the sink, and cuddled up in the chest of drawers. And they were very, very tired, and they slept for several days. The end.